Ephesians chapter 5. Believe it or not, we're on the last fruit of the Spirit tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. I've enjoyed this study. I hope that you have as well. And if you missed one of those Wednesday nights, they should be online on our church website, vbaptist.com, and you can go and listen just to catch up if you missed one and wanted to catch up on that. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse number 22 and 23 and read those two out loud together. Let's go ahead and begin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did I say Ephesians? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I don't know, I need a third coffee or something's wrong. I don't know what's... Woo! I'm just saying if you all pay attention to where the fruit of the Spirit is. That's all I'm trying... it's a test. Galatians 5. Let's try that again. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You found it. Okay, good. Temperance. We're talking about temperance this evening, and the definition of temperance, according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, is moderation, particularly habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions, restrained or moderate indulgence, as temperance in eating and drinking, temperance in the indulgence of joy or mirth. Temperance in eating and drinking is opposed to gluttony and drunkenness, and other indulgences to excess. That's the first definition. The second definition of temperance is patience, calmness, sedateness, moderation of passion. Temperance equals self-control. It equals forbearance. It equals moderation. It equals restraint. It equals self-denial. It equals abstinence. It equals patient, calm, moderation of passion can keep your temper. The last fruit of the Spirit that we see is temperance. You know what it is? It's balance and self-control. They did a study on GMOs and artificially producing and doing things to produce food, because they can modify food, genetically modify food to make it grow bigger, to make it grow faster, all these different kind of things. And they did a study, I want to say it was with algae and like amoebas, something small. And they had a test, the case won the study, the control, and it was just regular algae and regular amoebas. And they would put a certain amount of algae in, and the amoebas would eat it, and they would get all the nutrition that they need. What they did then is they would put modified algae, which grew bigger and quicker, to some other amoebas. And these amoebas would eat until they were full, but they starved to death because there wasn't enough nutrients in the bigger algae. So let's say you have an algae, let's say that's this size, and it has 10 nutrients in it. Let's say you take that same algae and you blow it up 5 times its size. If an amoeba would eat 20% is the same amount as this, but they would only be getting 20% of the nutrients that they need, even though they're full. Does that make sense? They're getting full, but just because you're full doesn't mean that you're getting fed. Does that make sense? And I know I was going somewhere with that. Hold on. I'm 40, people. Give me a break. Temperance, balance, self-control, nutrients. In other words, it's important what you eat. Whatever you put in is what you'll get out. And so if you're eating nutrient-rich things, you will have enough energy and you'll be able to produce. But if you eat things that are lacking in nutrients and you know, weeds, empty things like that, you're not going to produce. You're going to be dead and dying, okay? So the last fruit of the Spirit, temperance, I want to look at it in a unique way this evening. And I'm going to kind of touch base on this again on Sunday. This is basically this sermon part two, because I preached part of this sermon in chapel. So whoever's in chapel today, you get part two. Come back Sunday morning, you'll get part three, okay? But one thing that's interesting to me, and this kind of stood out to me lately, is how many times God uses fruit and harvesting and reaping in his teaching and in his word. And the thought that kind of came to me is that we may have left the garden, but God's will for us is to one day enter the garden once again. Just because we left the garden doesn't mean God doesn't still think about the garden. Just because we don't think about the garden doesn't mean God doesn't think about the garden and us being there with him. And in 2021, we're pretty much, most of us are far removed from the Garden of Eden, not thinking about it, but God isn't necessarily that far removed from the Garden of Eden. Does that make sense? In his thoughts. And, you know, he wants us again to enter the garden and once again to fellowship with him once again. And in that garden, I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about the place of perfect rest where the tree of life is now residing, where it once was in the garden. We get to enter the heavenly rest through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see here that if we walk in the Spirit, verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen to some other verses that talk about reaping and sowing. You know, Adam and Eve's job in the garden was to, you know, keep it, tend it, transform it kind of how they wanted, eat any fruit that they wanted within the Garden of Eden. But notice, listen to this. Walk in the Spirit and you will produce good fruit. I think that kind of goes back to the garden too. Job 4:8 says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And here's the idea, here's the thought that I shared in chapel this afternoon, is, you know, we kind of give Eve a really bad rap, or really hard on her. We can't believe that she ate the fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat and did what she wasn't supposed to do. She ruined her garden. And the thought that I've been having, and I'm trying to articulate it here tonight with some difficulty, is that each one of us are given the same opportunity by God that Eve had. We get to choose what fruit we eat and what fruit we don't eat. We get to choose what we plant in our garden. And the garden that I'm referring to is the garden of your mind. You get to decide what seeds get sown in it. You get to decide what you're going to reap from it. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever you put in is what you're going to give out. It's what you're going to get out. Walk in the Spirit, you'll produce fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So Job is saying, look, if you want to plow in iniquity and you want to sow in wickedness, that's what you're going to reap. Psalms 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. What did Paul say about controlling himself? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Is it too hot in here for anybody? Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Bible says, Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He controls his body. He controls the flesh. He brings it into subjection. You know what that's saying? He's controlling what's getting planted in his garden. Now, it's pretty neat when you can have your own garden. You can decide whatever you want to plant in there. You can plant in there. It was mentioned this afternoon that, come to find out, watermelon is something you can eat that'll lower your blood pressure. So when summertime comes, watch out. I'm going to be after a lot of watermelon. Amen? So, but if you could plant your own garden, Anthony, if you could have your own garden, what's one of your favorite vegetables or fruits you'd plant in it? Cantaloupe. He's a lope man. I got to tell a funny story. My wife, she's not here. She's at the Women Counseling Women conference, and I'll tell it because she's not here, so she won't be too embarrassed. Wesley's embarrassed for her. That's enough. So we're driving down the road on the way home, and you know we're across the next to the farm. They got a little farmer's stand there, and it's got a sign out. And she looks at it and she says, "Oh, they have Lopez for sale." I said, "Lopez? Where?" She's like, "Over there." I was like, "Honey, that's Lopes." "Lopes? What's a lope?" "Cantaloupe." We had a good laugh on it. Anyway, Lopez. "Hey, anyone want to sell some Lopez?" It was funny when we did it. Okay, Lopes. All right, Anthony wants some Lopes. Brother Steve, what would you plant in your garden? String beans. All right, Miss Kelly. Corn. Sweet corn. All right, Miss Cynthia. Strawberries. Talking my language. I'll come visit your garden. Brother Nathan. Tomatoes. A tomato and bacon and lettuce and mayonnaise sandwich. I'll come visit your garden too. All right. Miss Diane. Beef steak tomatoes. Uh-huh. What do you think, Brother Scott? Black raspberries. Brother Ivy, we know what you play in your garden, but what's one of your favorite things? Deer food. Yeah. Well, if you were eating it, what would you plant? Ooh, broccoli and spinach. Yeah, I'll bring my melted cheese to your garden. Yeah, Brother Tom? What do you like? Apples. And there's all kinds. Gala and all. What do you think, Brother Jason? Pepper, hot or mild? Hot. You and Danny Schultz would get along, because that's what he wanted to plant in his garden this afternoon, was hot peppers. I'm not probably going to visit very often your garden. What do you think, Brother Joan? Pineapples. That's what I was going to plant in my garden. Yes. Yes. Miss Connie? Bananas. Mm-hmm. Yummy. Mm-hmm. Miss Cynthia? Cindy? Green peppers. I like those. Brother Vasquez? Plantains? Cherry tomato and plantains. You like plantains? Come on. Victor, what would you plant? Oranges? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Miss Caitlin? Ooh, zucchini. That's delicious. Cook that up. Y'all making me hungry. Let's bow for prayer and be dismissed. No, but it's really neat. If you have your own garden and you have control of what you plant in there, you can just go planting away. It's really amazing how you can till the ground. I mean, it's brown. There's nothing green in there growing at all. And you just plant your little seeds, and something else starts growing up with your plants. Weeds. How'd those things get in there? They weren't invited. They just kind of snuck in there. Amen? But with your mind, let's say you compare your mind to your garden, whatever grows in there, you get to decide. You get to decide whatever grows in your garden, in your life. And whatever you allow to be planted, and whatever grows when you reap it, after you've sown it, you have to deal with the consequences. No one really likes skunk cabbage. Something for skunk cabbage is probably the one thing poor people don't even try to come up with a recipe for. Yeah. So imagine going and purposefully planting skunk cabbage in your Garden of Eden. But when we purposefully go to sin, that's what we're doing. When we purposefully allow sin in our life, that's what we're doing. We're planting the weeds and the skunk cabbage and the briars and what's some weeds? Names. People, you know people in Pennsylvania eat those? So I can't consider that a weed anymore, brother. They eat them. They make soup. What's that? Poor people have found out how to make dandelion soup, not skunk cabbage soup. But what you reap is what you'll sow. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Romans 8, look back to Romans from 1 Corinthians. Back one book to Romans 8, verse 12 and 13. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye what? Ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And look, you can be saved and still choose to live after the flesh. But doing so is going to do what? Bring forth what in your life? Death. It's going to bring forth death. Remember what Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that we don't have to be surprised. I'm glad when I go down to Farm and Fleet or Tractor Supply or what's that farmer's paradise, the ag store you've been to, Brother Libby, they got everything. I'm glad when I go there and I get carrot seeds and I plant them, carrots are what come up. Wouldn't it be horrible if you go down and get carrot seeds, but you don't know, you never know what's going to come up. It could be an apple tree, it could be a pineapple tree, it could be skunk cabbage. Aren't you glad that whatever you plant, that's what you know you're going to get? Isn't that a kind of an assuring thing? You're not going to plant an apple tree and get, come on you agriculturalists, ragweed. Say that five times fast, ragweed. And you're not going to plant oranges and get bananas. You're not going to plant, you're not going to plant apples and get alligators. I know that's made me laugh because it was ridiculous because it's impossible. But whatever you plant, that's what you get. You know what's amazing as well and something that we need to stop and think about is that whatever you plant in your life, that's what you're going to get. I'm glad that we don't have to wonder. I'm glad that if I plant good seed in my garden, I don't have to worry about it producing skunk cabbage. Amen? And what's the best seed you can plant in your garden? What's the best seed? The Bible is the best seed you can plant in your garden. And you know what happens? You know, well, those weeds come, or maybe you made a foolish mistake and you allowed seeds of sin to come in to your garden through your mind, through your eyes, or through your ears, and you've got some problems now. Your garden's kind of messed up and kind of weedy. How can you clean it up? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know how you overtake the weeds of sin in your mind and you get rid of them and pluck them out? By putting seeds of God in there. And look, you can't just do the one verse a day plan. The older you get, okay, maybe when you're two, you can read one verse if you can read. God bless you if you can read it too. Or maybe even at five. You can read one verse and make it through the day. Because the worst thing that you're challenged to do is to not eat the brownies. Right? But as you get older, there's other challenges, not just brownies. And you need a little bit more verses. You can't just go through your day and say, okay. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder, and the twilight shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out their body. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. I'm glad that I just planted it in my mind, and I'm going to be good the rest of the day. Amen. That's not going to carry you through, and that's not going to clean you up very much. Look, when you clean yourself up, you don't turn the water on, let it steam, and put your cheek through the shower curtain, and you're like, okay, I'm good. I hope that's not what you do. You don't turn the water on, make sure it's good, run through the shower and run out. Now, little boys do. I don't want to take a bath. Right? Look, when you brush your teeth, I hope this isn't what you do. You put a little dab of toothpaste on there and you go, all right, rinsing, I'm good. As long as the fronts are clean, that everybody sees, I'm okay. No, I hope it's a thorough cleaning. You know, I rinse at least 3 times and scrub top. I still got cavities, you know. But when you're going to clean those teeth, you got to take some time doing it if you really want them clean. Has anyone ever done a garden? You ever? Yeah, I see those faces. I have too. And then you look out the window and you see the weeds. I just picked those. What are they doing there again? You know, what you're tempted to say is, I quit. I quit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I kind of liken this to dog hair. You can get ready for church, and you can try not to sit on the furniture. If you know you got a long-haired dog, you might even sit on the edge of the couch. I mean, the back of your legs aren't touching the furniture. You're being very careful. And the moment you stand up, that static electricity, whew, looks like you're a cowboy. You know what I mean? Those wool breeches they got on. Lint roller, please. You know, how did that hair get there? Just easily besets you. You know, the weeds of sin are going to easily beset you. You're not even going to be consciously thinking about it. And all of a sudden, oh, that thought's going to get planted. Or you're going to see something or hear something. Just look, get in and scrub it and keep going. Get in and scrub it and keep going. Do you know what's the difference between a successful gardener and an unsuccessful gardener? The successful gardener doesn't quit. I mean, we got some farmers in here. It takes time, doesn't it? And weeds, and you got to do, you got to spray for those weeds. It's fun now. You got these big machines with these big arms. You don't got to go out and pluck them individually. But look, you have your very own spiritual garden. You get to decide what's planted in there. And we can't look into your mind of your garden and see what you got growing. We can see the effects. Bible says, by their fruit, ye shall know them. So we can see the effect of what you got planted by what comes out in your attitude. We can see the effect of what you got planted by what comes out in your actions. We can see the effect by what you've been planting in your garden by what comes out through your words, by who else you choose to hang around. And look, birds of a feather flock together, people with the same garden configuration, garden together. Me and Brother Michael, our gardens, we would be talking because we're both growing pineapple trees. I had one fresh the other day. Cut it up. It was amazing. I'll take it. I'm short. I don't like heights. If I had to harvest it, I'd chop down my tree and have to grow it again. That'd be sad. What are you growing in your garden? You get to decide. That's an amazing thought. You get to produce whatever you want to produce. You get to grow in your life and in your mind whatever you want to grow. And I pray to God that it's the fruit of the Spirit you want to grow. I think that's one reason why the Bible says whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are, I'm not saying it in order, but true, honest, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because you're planting good seeds. You're planting good seeds. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. I love that. In Genesis, Adam and Eve were given a garden to mold and tend to as they wished. They could eat any fruit that they wanted to eat there, and Eve gets a really bad rap from eating the one fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat from. And yet, many times we choose to eat the fruit we shouldn't be eating from as well. Don't be too hard on Eve if your garden needs tending and cleaned up. The great news is you can clean it up. The great news is you can de-weed it. You can de-sin it. You can clean it. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look, if you allow your lust of your flesh to control you, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you're going to allow things to come into your garden through your eyes and through your ears and get planted there and grow. It's going to bring forth and produce death. Now, what is life about? According to the first two commandments, what's the purpose of life? Okay, he's in the first. Who's in the second? Neighbor, which would be everyone else, right? So what's life about? Okay, loving. What is love about? Starts with an R. Relationships. Life is about relationships. Number one, your relationship with God. Number two, your relationship with everybody else. When you allow sin to grow in your garden, death comes to those relationships. Does that make sense? Death comes in your marriage. Death will come between the relationship with you and your child. Death will come between you and your friend. And death will come between you and God if you allow it. Not that you'll lose your salvation, but you can become a backslider. You can still be a child of God and be the prodigal son. The prodigal son decided to plant in his garden sin. And what happened to his relationship with his father? On his end. On his end, he killed it. Did the father kill it on his end? But on his end, did he kill it? When he came to his father and he said, give me my living. You know, you're not supposed to get your inheritance from daddy until what? Until he's dead. So when the youngest son comes to daddy and says, give me my living, give me my inheritance, it's as much as the youngest son looking at daddy and said, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance. He goes, he wastes it. He ends up in a swine field, feeding the swine, living with them. Swine aren't very smell good. They're the run through the water and I'm clean. And then I'm going to go back to the mud. This guy was stinky. He was muddy, dirty, starving. What happened to all the friendships and relationships that he had out there when he had money? They died. And what's the only relationship he felt like he had some kind of connection with? His father. And he came back and he was saying, I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son, which was true. Make me one as a hired servant. Look, I'm not going to try to be called your son because I know I don't deserve it, but can I be one of your servants and work for you? He knew at least he'd get fed. On the father's side, what did the father do? He kissed him. What condition was his son's body in? Not someone you want to kiss unless you really love him. That son that left You know, whatever relationship he hurt the relationship with his older brother. And the older brother comes out of the field and he's been doing right. He's like, Dad, why are you giving him this and that? And the father said, because your brother was lost and now he's found. But all that I have is yours. All the rest I have is yours. You've been doing good. This is what you're going to reap. If the oldest son had come to the dad and said, give me my living, could he have received everything the father was going to give him if he wanted to leave? No, because the father's not going to give him his tent, because that's where he sleeps. He's not going to give him all of his animals, because he still owns them and he's still alive and he needs the income. The older son did right. And look at all that he was going to inherit. He was going to, all the blessings he was going to. But notice that the relationships of the second son, they died. Why? Because of what he decided to plant in his life. What are you planting in your life? Let me ask you this. Is what you're planting in your life benefiting relationships in your life? Is it bringing you closer to God and benefiting that relationship with God? Or is it pushing you away? If it's bringing you closer, then you're planting the right kind of seed. You're weeding your garden correctly. You're cleansing your mind correctly. If it's pushing you away, if you feel distant from God, you got some weeds of sin in your personal garden that you need to clean. If in your private life, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your teachers, your friends, your pastor, your neighbors, if what you're doing and producing in your life brings you closer to all those people, then you must be planting some good seed and producing love, fruit, love fruit and joy fruit and peace fruit and long-suffering fruit and gentleness fruit and kindness fruit and temperance fruit. And when you produce those kind of fruit, your relationships blossom. People like to be around somebody that produces that kind of fruit in their life because it tastes good. People don't like to be around people that produce the fruit of bitterness. Do they? Or the fruit of hate? Or the fruit of anger. Ugh. Well, that doesn't taste good. You ever bit into a fruit that wasn't ripe yet? And just gave you a zing? Imagine biting into a skunk cabbage. That's bitterness. Skunk cabbage. We need to be careful what we're producing in our garden. It's your garden. It's your life. I told young people, and I'll come to a close. I say it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. It's just really miraculous, something that God did for us when it comes to our eyes. If there's something, some seeds of sin that are going to be planted in through your eyes, this is wonderful. Watch this. You can actually do this. Everybody has the ability to do this. You ready? Now I can see you. Now I can't. You can close your eyes. Amen? You can turn your head and, oh, yeah. You don't have to allow those seeds in there. You don't have to allow them to grow. You can plug your ears. Now, that doesn't work very good if you have really good hearing, because you can hear anyway a little bit. But you can leave the area so that that doesn't come in through your ears. What are you allowing to be sown in your life? What's the Bible say about setting wicked things before our eyes? What did David say? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How much wickedness does that allow for? None. So you grew up watching a certain sitcom and you think it's funny, it's got a little bit of off-color jokes and it just a few swear words and there's a couple, you know, risque moments, but oh, you grew up with it and you love it and you turned out okay. Right? So you can watch it with your child and put a little wickedness in front of them. It's not going to hurt them that much because you turned out okay. Is that what the verse says? You can set a little wickedness before your eyes and you'll be okay. No, so we have to be careful what we're allowing into our garden. I don't know if that made sense tonight. I feel like I was rambling a little bit. I don't know if it's too hot in here or I need a third coffee or what's going on. But take three on Sunday morning. I think this is a thought that we need to look at a couple times. Because there's really a pretty cool thought. You have your own garden, just like Adam, just like Eve. And you get to decide what kind of fruit you eat and what kind of fruit you don't. And you get to decide if the fruit you eat brings forth life in your life, and joy and kindness and love. Or you get to decide if the fruit that you eat is going to bring forth death, heartache, bitterness, and skunk cabbage. Choose the right fruit. You know, in my teenage years, I might say this again on Sunday, but in my teenage years, I realized one verse wasn't going to cut it, and I started reading books of the Bible each night in the New Testament. You know, James is only 5 chapters. The longest one, I know it's going to take you a while, is Jude, but hey, you got to read it sometime. 1 chapter, folks. Come on, you awake? I mean, Galatians, what, 5 chapters? Ephesians, 6 chapters? You could read a whole book in a night. And I there were some seeds of sin in my teenage years that were trying to come in and grow in my life and causing me heartache and distress. And finally I said, enough of this. I got to clean the garden out. And I got in the Word of God and He cleaned it out. That's what you got to do too. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is a light unto our feet, a light unto our path. I thank you, Lord, that if we hide it in our hearts, we won't sin against you. I thank you, Father, that if we walk with the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll produce spiritual fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, you please, through your Holy Spirit, touch each and every person's heart, help them think about what kind of fruit they're growing right now in their personal garden. They can't blame anyone else for. They've planted it, they've watered it, they've nurtured it, or they've cut it down. Lord, help them to get back into the Word of God, planting the right seed, your Word in their heart, that it might bring forth fruit unto life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.